Welcome to Big Blue Hits Friday right here on Giants.com. It's fueled by Hess. The Giants getting ready to take on the Minnesota Vikings at MetLife Stadium on Monday Night Football. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm John Schmelk. We're joined by Lance Mead, who's visited Taylor since we've last seen him. Lance, what's going on,
pal? We tried to amp it up a little just for you, John.
Very good. And we are taking your calls, of course, on Big Blue Kickoff at 201-939-4513. Big Blue Hits comes your way every Wednesday and Thursday and Friday right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. And let's get to our Adorama news of the day. Adorama, the official electronics retailer of the New York Giants, and the Giants getting a couple veterans back. Lands, both Corey Webster and David Boss practicing for two straight days. Both guys expect to play on Monday.
It's a positive sign for the Giants. This is the time of the year, specifically when you're 0-6, that you want to get some of the usual suspects back in the mix. This will strengthen their depth chart. They've been playing under man time and time again. These are guys that are familiar with the system. It can't hurt at this point.
And with Jaron Hosley and Aaron Ross still on IR, having Corey Webster back in the mix certainly will help that depth. Tremaine McBride is now number four. Terrell Thomas can move back to the nickel, and it helps everywhere in that offensive alignment. Let's look at the injury report very quickly based on practice. As you can see, the list is getting shorter, which makes head coach Tom Coughlin awfully, awfully happy. We already talked about Corey Webster and David Boss. Jason Pierre-Paul did not practice. He was sick. Not a big deal. Adrian Robinson back on practice. Brandon Jacobs should be good to go on Monday. And everyone else, really minor injuries. So, Lance, the Giants are getting healthier. Maybe they can finally get their first win on Monday.
Well, that's the key right now. You want to build off of some sense of momentum. And one way to do that is to get some of these guys healthy. You mentioned the depth in the secondary. Listen, they're going up against a Vikings team that may be somewhat underrated, but you've got Greg Jennings, you got Kyle Rudolph. They have guys that can stretch the field. You need to have all hands on deck.
And the Giants hope to get their first victory of the season. All this losing has certainly been frustrating to Giants quarterback Eli Manning.
It's not fun. It's not fun playing this game and losing and not feeling like you're helping your team. And so it is tough. But it's not gonna change the way I treat each day or treat each practice and treat the games. I'm gonna compete. I'm gonna work hard and do whatever I can do to try to put our team in a situation to win a game.
And, of course, Eli Manning has been a fairly large part of these losses, Lance. He's on pace for 45 interceptions. Obviously, that's not going to happen. But how does he cut down? No, you hope not. How does he cut down on some of these turnovers and mistakes that have cost the Giants some of these games?
Well, he has to be patient at this point, John. Sometimes taking a sack doesn't hurt. The analogy that I could build with respect to baseball, you're always swinging for the fences. There's nothing wrong with a single. You want to build slowly the bridge to get this offense on track. And right now, he's pressing the envelope at times. If he takes the underneath route, he dumps it off to his running back. They get the running game going a little bit more consistent. That's how you cut down on the turnovers.
And play calling has been an issue that some people have spoken about as well. But head coach Tom Coughlin does not want to take away the opportunities from Eli Manning to make big plays down the field. He trusts him and he wants this offense to be what it's been for the past few seasons.
We've tried to put ourselves in a little bit better position in terms of what we want, how we want it, and where, et cetera. But you're not going to take away from the opportunity to take advantage if it's there. The ball he threw down the sideline the other night was a great example of that.
And the bottom line is that head coach Tom Coughlin trusts his quarterback, and that brings us to our first Twitter question of the day. We go out to @TobyGleish, and Toby wants to know, can Kevin Gilbride do anything to help cut down on the offense's turnovers? And I think, really, Coach Coughlin, Lance, just answered Toby's question. It's more about decision-making on the field and execution than it is about game planning.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. And Eli Manning is your quarterback under center. He's the guy that's got to implement this offense. Kevin Gilbride can only send in the plays. At the end of the day, the players need to execute. That's where it falls maybe a little bit on your running backs. If you can't go for the home run, there's no crime in dumping it off in the flat to Brandon Jacobs, Peyton Hillis. Let them move the chains methodically.
And the running backs certainly played a big part in the game last week against the Chicago Bears. The Giants had their first 100-yard rushing game of the season. Brandon Jacobs had 20 carries for the first time since 2009. He went over the century mark. And talking to Kevin Gilbride today, that really helps him do a better job getting into a rhythm and calling plays for Eli Manning.
Well, your third downs are more manageable. That's what getting that running game goes. They only had two third downs for 9 yards or more in this last game against the Bears. That had not been present in the previous contest. So if you could get Brandon Jacobs to pound the ball on the ground, you're going to make it a lot easier for Eli Manning.
And we saw Brandon Jacobs on that injury report battling the hamstring injury, but the Giants did get some reinforcements this week. And that comes in the form of running back Peyton Hillis. Now, he played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who has Mike Sullivan as their offensive coordinator. He was the quarterback's coach here, uses the same offensive system, and Peyton Hillis knows that'll help him contribute very early and often for Big Blue.
You know, I was lucky to play enough to play in Tampa to, you know, learn the terminology and learn the playbook. And, you know, I feel that now, you know, getting that heads up and coming here, knowing that, you know, I can get on the field faster.
Lance, how much can we expect Peyton Hillis to play realistically? How many carries this weekend on Monday night?
Well, he's had less than a week of preparation. You're right, he's familiar with the terminology. In terms of a number, I would say anywhere from maybe 5 to 8 carries is probably the number to expect. Brandon Jacobs, as long as his hamstring holds up, he's going to have to carry the load. You may even see a little bit of Michael Cox.
And they'll be running around the Giants offensive line that has played better the last couple of weeks, and we'll talk about them and more when we come back. You're watching Big Blue Hits on Friday right here on Giants.com, and it's fueled by Hess. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The objective of the Tom Coughlin J Fund Foundation is to be there for families who have a child with leukemia, cancer, other forms of cancer.
Tom Coughlin, nice to meet you. Are you a Giant fan? Well, you're a pretty girl.
It's a tremendous feeling to just be with these kids, to have a little bit of an idea of what the families and the children are going through, and again, to try to bring a smile to their face and to let them know that, you know what, we do care.
Yeah, turn everybody.
There's so many things pulling at that family when your child is diagnosed with cancer. What we try to do is keep that core, keep them a family.
Just lightening their burden a little bit is huge for them because it's one less thing that they have to worry about. They can focus on their child and their child getting the treatment that they need.
Giants! There you go.
This is an important message for all Giants fans attending the games at MetLife Stadium. In an effort to enhance public safety, a new NFL bag policy will be implemented this season. Guests are welcome to carry in clear bags, 12 inches by 6 by 12, or small purses and handbags that are 4.5 by 6.5 inches or less in size. Any non-clear bag exceeding the size limit, including camera or binocular cases, will not be permitted. The Giants appreciate your assistance and cooperation with the following policies. For more information, go to Giants.com.
Road to victory is paved Giants blue. And that road runs through only one network. Yep, MSG, where Big Blue fans get the best Big Blue shows. Like Giants First and 10. 10 things fans need to know for Sunday's game.
Touchdown, Giants!
And there's Giants Rewind, where Bob Papa and Carl Banks break down last Sunday's game. Yeah, Giants First and 10 and Giants Rewind. Just two reasons why the only true blue home for true blue fans is MSG.
We're back here on Big Blue Hits Friday on Giants.com. It's fueled by Hess, 201-939-4513. That's our telephone number. Give us a call. Talk some New York Giants football. And let's start off on the phones in segment number two and say hello to James in New Jersey. James, what's going on?
I just wanted to know how the Giants offensive line is going to handle that tough Minnesota defensive line.
Well, you know what? The Giants offensive line, Lance, has actually played a lot better the last couple of weeks with Jim Cordell at center. They protected Eli Manning. We mentioned the 100 yards on the ground last week. But now we might have a little bit of a change with David Boss going in at center. The Vikings haven't exactly been pass-rushing machines on that defensive line.
Only 10 sacks on the season, John. That's tied for the fourth lowest. The Giants, in comparison, are at 6. These are two teams that have yet to really get their pass rush going. So this could be a game that plays right into the hands of the Giants in terms of establishing the run once again. Minnesota gave up over 130 yards to the Carolina Panthers. That would be a bright spot for the Giants.
And you take a look at the Giants' offensive line configuration. You look at them. Jim Cordell at center, Booth and Deal at the guards, with Pugh and Beattie at the tackles. This group has really looked good the last 2 weeks. Big strides in progress in the first few weeks of the season when they struggled.
Considering they've mixed and matched so much throughout the course of this season, I'm not saying that they're going to take a step back with getting David Boss in the mix, but you hate to really mess around with what has been so effective over the last few weeks. But the Giants follow the philosophy, we're not going to bench a guy just because of an injury.
But we are going to have a change, as you you mentioned, David Boss is back. He expects to play on Monday, and he hopes he can get this team in the win column for the first time in 2013.
If I can go out there and, like I said, it doesn't matter what play, if I can do something that's going to help this team win and bring a spark or anything I can do, I'm gonna go 100% and do that because we need to win.
And obviously a calculated risk by the Giants going back to David Boss. But again, he's a guy they paid a lot of money to a few years ago. He's their starter. They don't like taking those starting jobs away from guys like him. And they believe this offensive line won't miss a beat with David Boss back in the lineup.
Well, he's a veteran. He's played with the guys that are to the left of him. He's played with the guys that are to the right of him. So it's not as if he's a rookie getting his first taste of NFL play. It shouldn't fall off in terms of the production. But once again, there is something to be said about 2 weeks of consistency protecting Eli Manning, only allow him to be sacked twice.
Let's go to our phones, Lance. We have a full board. Let's go to Anthony, New Jersey, who's been holding. Anthony, thanks for giving us a call. What's going on?
How's everything going? I just got a comment. I know that we're pretty much out of the playoffs. We're looking probably at a top five pick. So I was wondering, which side of the ball do you think if we do get a top five pick, are we going offensive or defensive line?
Thank you. Anthony, I honestly think it's a little bit early to talk draft. I don't think there's any guarantee they're a top five pick. You know, maybe around 10, who knows? We'll see how the season goes. And it depends who's available. It's hard to really say now where they're going to go in the draft because we don't know who's going to be in the draft, how the combine is going to go, who's going to be healthy, who's going to be hurt. But, Lance, I think if you look at some of the need areas on this team based on their performance so far this year, you're looking at O-line. But usually that early, you pick a tackle. The Giants already have their two tackles of the future in Beattie and Pugh. And on defense, you look maybe another pass rusher, maybe a linebacker. And you could always add a cornerback as well, considering Corey Webster's going to be a free agent, and Terrell Thomas obviously dealing with those knee injuries.
Giants fans love to jump the gun. This team's 0-6. They're already planning for next season.
We got 10 games to go,
correct.
Beto.
There's
Come on.
A lot of playoff things to play out right now, and who knows how things are going to eventually play out. But getting back to the offensive line, John, I think that they can use depth there. So that would be a position that I would target, even though they're set at the tackles with some youth. Look at what's happened with James Brewer and Brandon Mosley. These young guys have not necessarily panned out. They need to beef up that depth chart.
And, you know, people worry about that first-round pick a lot, but you can get a great value with that early pick in the second round as well, and that's where you can sometimes pick up those interior offensive linemen that can help your team for a very long time. Back to the phones. Connor's in Florida. Connor, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing? I just want to start by saying I'm a huge fan of the show.
Thanks, Connor.
Thanks
appreciate
for having
it.
Me and taking
Thanks
my call. Any team goes 0-6, even 0-7, major concerns. Everyone's looking for someone to blame. Is there any chance that if the Giants do lose to Minnesota, or even if they looking from the past, they look to make some changes in the coaching staff or management?
You know, Connor, honestly, I don't believe this team's going to make any sort of changes like that during this season. This coaching staff's been here a long time. They've had a ton of success. And once we get to the end of the season, Lance, they'll evaluate what happened, and then ownership will decide what changes they want to make, if any. But I really think it's fair to say that this management team and this coaching staff have proven themselves over the past 10 years with two Super Bowl championships and putting a core together around Eli Manning.
Well, John Mara said it best after the team struggled in recent seasons. As long as he sees the players reacting and responding to the coaching staff, he has no reason to make a change. If you determine that you want to make a change, John, as you mentioned, you do that in the offseason. Shaking it up midseason is a reach. It's not necessarily going to solve your major issues.
And here's how you look at it, too. It's very difficult to have these conversations now at 0-6. What if this team, and it's not out of the realm of possibility, finishes the season 7-3 or 8-2? That means you're looking at either 8-8 or even 7-9, but you've played well the second half of the year. Maybe they solve their problems. Maybe the pass rush gets back. Maybe Eli Manning cuts down on the mistakes. Then do you really want to make a change with the coaches? I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense.
Plus, you may be getting personnel back, and that could help solve some of the issues, not necessarily the scheme. Take, for example, when they went on the Super Bowl run, OC comes back, the pass rush gets going, they wind up getting some hardware.
We will continue to take your calls on Big Blue Hits at 201-939-4513. We'll also touch on the Giants defense, and we'll get hardcore into what makes the Vikings tick and how the Giants can slow them down on Monday night. You're watching Big Blue Hits Friday on Giants.com, but first, let's take a look at Carl Banks. He broke down what the Vikings do on tape and how the Giants can attack them on Monday night.
All right, let's take a look at the Minnesota Vikings defense, and here they'll show some pressure. Keep an eye here on the outside linebacker. Now, if you're on the offensive line, you got to make sure that you got the numbers right. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys. The offense has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys to block 6. So once they identify who the rushers are, it comes down to execution. So as a Giant running back, offensive lineman, it's all about making and sustaining your block. Let's take a look here. I'm going to run it in slow motion first. Keep an eye on the linebacker here. He pushes right by the running back and comes in and makes the sack. Running back sits down. When you're going against a guy going full speed, it's best to cut the distance from him to you by coming forward. Don't sit and wait. You come forward and attack so that you can stop his momentum from pushing you back into the quarterback. He waits. You got to go attack. Let's take a look at the Vikings offense now. In the running game, there's one guy that you always have to know where he is and the danger that he presents to your defense when he gets the ball. Is Adrian Peterson, one of the best all-time backs in the NFL. Now, knowing where he likes to run the ball is important. There are some danger zones. Here's one, here's another one, and right behind center. So the guys that are going to be very instrumental are your defensive tackles. Here, here, your linebackers. You've got to set a wall so that he doesn't have a crease to run through. And I'll run this, and you'll see when he has a big hole to run through, it's going to be very difficult for you to catch him. Let's take a look here at the interior line. You got a guy blocked here, a guy blocked there, a guy washed out. Guess where Adrian Peterson goes? He takes it straight through the middle of the field. You can't get washed out of the hole. There it is. Guy's getting washed out. Adrian Peterson running straight through.
And that's Carl Banks breaking down that Vikings offense. We'll get more on Adrian Peterson a little bit later on in the show. But, Lance, this Giants defense, look, a lot of the issues on this team have been on the offensive end with the turnovers. But on the same time, this Giants team simply has not produced the type of takeaways that they have in seasons past.
Well, you're missing Stevie Brown. I think that's part of the equation. He was Mr. Opportunistic last season, was in the right place at the right time, and you've basically been playing a game of musical chairs with the personnel in the secondary, and guys need to have time playing with one another so that they can have the right gaps, and therefore you get some of those tip balls. You get in those positions where luck overtakes the scheme. That's what turnovers are more often than not. It's not just always executing the scheme, but it's being in the right place. And the Giants have been caught out of position more often than not.
And that brings us to our next Twitter question. This one comes from Diehard for Big Blue. He wants to know, why aren't the Giants producing the same number of takeaways? Here's the question. How do you start doing that? How do you get better at it? How do you get back to what they've been doing the last couple years?
Well, you need to be aggressive. Number one, you'd like to get this pass rush going, because if the pass rush starts to fluster the quarterback is going to be more prone to throw interceptions, and that means your secondary is making him pay. So that's number one. And you want your corners to be more aggressive, as well as the safeties. Jam the guys at the line of scrimmage. Why make it so easy for them to get out and run routes?
No doubt about it. 201-939-4513. That's our telephone number. Give us a call. We'll take your calls until the end of the program. But for now, Lance, we talked about this defense not creating takeaways. This offense has been put in holes. And the defense, in turn, has had some issues in the fourth quarter, and they've given up some big plays. And Justin Tuck chalks up to some of those big plays they've allowed to some frustration with the team having so many tough losses.
A lot of the plays that have we've relinquished in the second half, a lot of the big plays we relinquished in the second half. And I think a lot of that has to do with frustration setting in, and maybe, you know, it just seems like anytime that we're not on the same plays with defense, that's when the big plays arise. And you know, like I said, that's why we got to figure out a way to do our job consistently, because you know, to the end, regardless if sacks are there or not, you know, we got to find ways to keep teams, you know, out of the end zone. And we haven't did that well enough.
And Justin Tuck talked about it right there, Lance, and there seems to be a bit of a domino effect on this team. You can get momentum and things go right, and they continue to go right. then the opposite can happen. One thing goes wrong on offense, then the defense makes a bad play. Then the special teams makes a mistake. There seems to be a domino effect here where one bad thing happens, it just continues, and more bad things seem to happen after that.
And that's a reason why they have yet to play a full, complete four quarters. That's what's been holding them back. They've been in games. They've been there in the third quarter. They've been there in the fourth quarter. Even if a defense makes the stop, the offense forces a turnover. Special teams doesn't give them favorable field position. For some reason, one facet of this football team is not translating to another. Very inconsistent Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, as we like to call it.
And where that can start on defense certainly is the pass rush. And the Giants have only produced 5 sacks in 6 games this year. Certainly not where you want to be. Justin Tuck tells us why.
I'll be the first one to say that, you know, it starts with me. It starts with, you know, what I do individually. And I think every player on that D-line feels the same way. But there is some things that we still need to work on from a defensive standpoint to get us in situations where we're not taking 2 steps and looking for the ball to be out and trying to bat passes down, which I've seen a lot from me. And I think it's more unconsciousness of being in those situations and not really getting opportunities to rush.
And that's Justin Tuck talking about teams doing 3-step drops, getting rid of the ball quickly, not allowing the pass rush to get to the quarterback. But really, it's not that simple, because if all offenses were doing, Lance, was doing 3-step drops, get the ball out, the Giants wouldn't be giving up all these yards through the air, because it's easy to defend 3 steps and release.
And other teams across the board in the National Football League would also be struggling getting their pass rush going. The teams going up against the Giants are not only the quarterbacks that are dropping back with 3 steps. Everybody across the league is trying to get the football out quickly. It comes back to what Justin Tuck even touched on earlier this week, rising above the X's and O's. There's a point where you can use the scheme as an excuse, John, and then there's a point where you turn, you look in the mirror, and you say, we're individuals, we get paid the big bucks, we've got to win our one-on-one battles.
And they've done it in the past. We've seen them do it, and they need to start doing it again if the Giants defense wants to get kick-started. And that brings us to our Twitter question. This one comes in from @NoodleRayon. He wants to know, can the Giants afford to blitz more on defense? We saw them blitz more in the last game, but the linebackers oftentimes, Lance, did not get there.
However, John Beeson was a big bright spot. So if he continues to play at the level that he did against Chicago, that at least gives you some flexibility to throw a couple more wolves into the fire and get to the quarterback. At this point, John, I would say it doesn't hurt. If you need to bring up a safety to the line to bring some pressure to the quarterback, why not do it? You got to ignite it somehow.
And here's the thing about it. With Corey Webster back, more confidence in your secondary, maybe you can send a few more guys.
Because the personnel is more comfortable playing alongside with one another. When you throw in the Tremaine McBrides and some of the other younger guys, you don't want to take as many risks because they don't have nearly as much experience as a Webster in an Antrell role.
And you certainly have more confidence in your corners covering guys one-on-one down the field. 201-939-4513. That's your phone number. You're watching Big Blue Hits, fueled by Hess on Giants.com. We'll be back, talk some Vikings, and wrap things up. We'll be back right after this. Stay tuned.
The objective of the Tom Coughlin J Fund Foundation is to be there for families who have a child with leukemia, cancer, other forms of cancer.
Tom Coughlin, nice to meet you. Are you a Giant fan? Well, you're a pretty girl.
It's a tremendous feeling to just be with these kids, to have a little bit of an idea of what the families and the children are going through, and again, to try to bring a smile to their face and to let them know that, you know what, we do care.
Yeah, turn everybody.
Yeah.
There's so many things pulling at that family when your child is diagnosed with cancer. What we try to do is keep that core, keep them a family.
Just lightening their burden a little bit is huge for them, because it's one less thing that they have to worry about. They can focus on their child and their child getting the treatment that they need.
Giants!
There you go.
This is an important message for all Giants fans attending the games at MetLife Stadium. In an effort to enhance public safety, a new NFL bag policy will be implemented this season. Guests are welcome to carry in clear bags, 12 inches by 6 by 12, or small purses and handbags that are 4.5 by 6.5 inches or less in size. Any non-clear bag exceeding the size limit, including camera or binocular cases, will not be permitted. The Giants appreciate your assistance and cooperation with the following policies. For more information, go to Giants.com.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. You make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
We're back on Big Blue Hits Friday on Giants.com. It's fueled by Hess. John Schmuck, Lance Mehta with you, 201-939-4513. That's your telephone number. Let's go back to the phones and say what's up to Randy in Virginia. Randy, what's going on? Randy, you there? All right, we'll see if we can get back to Randy in just a bit.
In a very few words, apparently.
No doubt about it. What? Maybe it might, Randy might be back now. Let's try one more time. Randy, you there with us?
Yes, sir.
What's up, bud?
Yes, I have a question, you know, regarding the wide receiver and tight end option routes. It seems like there has been no confidence as far as, you know, them being on the same page, and I think that that can be attributed to a lot of the interceptions and turnovers. And the second part is, I remember the year that we missed the playoffs. I think the Seattle Seahawks got in the playoffs at 7-9.
That's correct.
Something like that, and I just thought it was a terrible injustice. Now I'm on the other foot hoping for something like that. I'm not giving up on the season, man.
Hey, look, at 0-6, if the Giants realistically can finish the season at 8-8, maybe the rest of the teams in the division really struggle, and 8-8 can maybe help you get into the playoffs. I think that's a possibility. Lance, as to the option routes he's talking about, that's what this offense is about. And that's what made this offense so good, that they were able to win two Super Bowls. Even though he's had some miscommunications with Reuben Randle. And quite frankly, the two last week seem to be as much on Eli as they are on Reuben Randle. And Myers and him have had some problems, but the interception, more of an overthrow than anything else, the offense is not going to change. This is what the offense is. It's not going to change.
Kevin Gilbride has been the sign of stability with Eli Manning for years. At this point, you're not going to mix it up that much. Do they need to make some tweaks here and there? Absolutely. That would be a fair critique. But the bottom line is these receivers know this system, John. They just got to get back on the same page. These mental mistakes weren't occurring last year, the year before. They've got to shore it up, got to get back to the film room, get back on the same page.
And the Giants offense better get going this week because they're taking on a Vikings offense that has scored 24 more points in four games this season. And their entire offense is based around Adrian Peterson, who Giants linebacker John Beeson knows is extremely tough to handle.
You know, he's just a determined running back. I always say he would have been a great defensive player, you know, a linebacker or hard-hitting safety, but you know, every down to him, he plays it like it's the last. He plays the game the way you're supposed to, and makes it hard to contain.
And there are only so many great things you can say about Adrian Peterson. We could be here for the rest of the show just talking about how good this guy is. And every Giants player has said nothing but good things about him. Powerful, fast, elusive, can catch the ball. He's the complete package.
He's exactly what you want to do in terms of building a running back. And you're looking at the numbers right now, nearly 5 yards per carry. He finds a way to get in the end zone in multiple ways. But what's most impressive, John, about Adrian Peterson is, as you'll see on the video, his bursting speed to break away for big runs. That's how sometimes he covers up some of those bad runs. In the blink of an eye, he'll burst out for 70 yards.
That brings us to our next Twitter question about Adrian Peterson from @lososway21. Is Adrian Peterson the best running back in football? And I don't think there's much doubt about it. LeSean McCoy's probably the next closest.
Well, they've seen a lot of good running backs this season.
Oof.
Jamal Charles, you could throw out a multitude, even Matt Forte. All of these guys could do a little bit of everything. They can catch the ball out of the backfield. They can run up the gut. They can run up the edge. And Adrian Peterson has all of those features. But when you're talking about the ultimate complete running back, I would put Adrian Peterson at the top of the list.
Without those big runs, though, he has struggled a little bit running the ball, a little bit. Josh Freeman is the Vikings' new quarterback this season, at least for this week. It's his first action 2 weeks with the team. He's getting his first start. Who knows how good he's going to be, but the Giants also now have to play a quarterback that they've never seen on tape in this Vikings offense.
The positive is you did see him on tape against Tampa Bay. You played him week two last season. That was a game that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers built a 14-point lead. The Giants used the rally. So they have a taste of him. He's a big guy. He can throw the deep ball, but this could be an opportunity to get the pass rush going, considering he hasn't been involved in this system too long.
Freeman, a bigger arm than Pondo or Castle, and he has some weapons. Simpson, Jennings, and Rudolph all can play.
Simpson's taking the role of a Percy Harvin this season. He's the type of guy that's really stretching the length of the field. Greg Jennings is the type of veteran who you want to use a security blanket. And Kyle Rudolph has been relatively quiet based on the numbers this season, John. However, he's coming off a 9-catch, 97-yard game along with a touchdown against Carolina. And the Giants have struggled against tight ends this season.
And he's one of those athletic guys that can really do it all. He's impressive. Then the wide receivers, too, can do a lot of good stuff as well. Lance, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much.
Always a blast. I'm going to speak to my tailor again next week.
Well, maybe you can hook me up with some ducks.
We'll spread the wealth.
Appreciate it. Everybody, thanks for joining us on Big Blue Hits Friday on Giants.com. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for watching. For Lance Metal, I'm John Schmelt. Enjoy your weekend. Giants and Vikings, Monday Night Football. And, of course, don't forget, Big Blue Hits is fueled by Hess. We'll see you next time.